If, like me, you went to school here on the glorious Isle of Man, you might remember taking part in the annual public speaking competition. Although I can't now remember what subject our team spoke about, I do remember, with fondness and pride, getting up on stage with my fellow students and presenting our topic to the gathered audience. This popular event is just one of many that's organised by the Youth Committee of the Rotary Club, who this year celebrate their centenary. I wanted to find out more about the work they do, so I found the best person to fill me in.
Hello, I'm Mary Jane Faulkner and I'm the Chair of the Youth Committee of the Rotary Club of Douglas.
And we've been hearing a lot about the Rotary Club because it's a very important year this year, isn't it?
It is indeed. We're 100 years old. It's our 100th anniversary.
The centenary. And there is so much going on. I didn't know, I have to admit, until I started looking into the 100 years and speaking with some of the members of the Rotary, how much you do with the youth of the Isle of Man. And of course, you're in charge of all of this, aren't you, for Rotary Douglas? Just give us a little sample, a little idea of some of the stuff that you're all involved with.
Yes, the Rotary Club of Douglas Youth Opportunities Committee works in partnership with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. And we have a programme of events focusing on the youth. These include the public speaking competition, the Rotary International Summer Camp, Reading Buddies programme, Rota Kids, the Hot Compass Initiative, and there's other programmes that we have got involved in with other Rotary clubs on the island.
Now, all of them got intriguing names, so I'm just going to ask you about them one by one and we can find out about each of them. So first of all, what's Rota Kids?
We have had Rota Kids on the island and we would like to relaunch this programme in primary schools. It's a junior version of the Rotary Club, run by the primary school children, and we provide the support to Rota Kids to operate independently, maintain a connection and encourage their development. And the focus is on charity work and community work, both locally and internationally.
So they basically do the same sort of things that the, I'm going to call it, grown-up Rotary does, but they do it as kids.
Yes, they visit care homes. They do shoeboxes for countries that have had earthquakes, disasters.
So it's the sort of thing that really would make them feel very much connected, not just with their own community, but also internationally.
Yes, yes.
Which is very important at that sort of age for them to sort of get that sort of awareness, isn't it? And you also have the summer camp coming up. Who is that for and what happens at summer camp?
The Rotary International Summer Camp is a multinational group of teenagers who travel to the island as part of for a long weekend, 4 days over a weekend, as part of a visit to the northwest of England Rotary. The youth committee make arrangements for a varied programme of events, including the history and the culture of the Isle of Man. The group's accommodated in the Mackold Centre, and the other two Rotary clubs on the island, Onkin Rotary Club and Russian Western Man, host elements of the visit along with ourselves. This year the event takes place on the first weekend of August, and we hope to explore the possibilities of connecting the visitors with some sixth formers on the island to participate in parts of the visit.
Which I suppose is great for our kids as well, to meet these other children who've come across. But also I'm guessing for those that are coming over for it, then they're experiencing the Isle of Man. Some of them might not have been somewhere like this before. It might be completely new for them, mightn't it?
It means a lot to them. The children are between 16 and 18 years of age. They're chosen by district, and they're from all over. For example, this year, they're from Czechoslovakia, France, Italy, Romania, Finland, Austria, Spain, maybe others I can't remember.
Gosh, so they really are from all over.
Yes.
So that sort of thing must be very difficult to orchestrate. How is it all organised?
We organise with Douglas Rotary with Onkin and Western Man, put together a programme of events, including the history and the culture of the Isle of Man, always speak to our supporters here to give them an experience of the island that's unique.
And it's the sort of thing, it makes me think back to when I was a kid and went on sort of school trips or trips with the brownies or the guides and went and experienced different places. It can be really formative, can't it, having experiences like this at that age? It's a really important thing for young people to do, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So that's a summer camp, which is brilliant. There's also the reading buddies. So what's the read? This is primary schools, isn't it, I think? Tell us about that.
The reading buddies, a team of Rotarians and their friends visit the school to assist primary pupils with the reading on a regular basis. At the end, at the school year end, prize giving, the Rotary Club of Douglas Reading Buddy Trophy is awarded to the most improved reader.
That's so lovely. So you're actually watching the children develop through the time that you're spending. And because it's all volunteer, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, volunteers from the Rotary Club and Rotary Friends of Rotary.
So sort of both sides are actually getting something out of this, aren't they? From the kids and also the Rotarians themselves.
Very much so, yes.
I'm really intrigued by something you mentioned. Hot compost bins? What's this?
It's a new programme that came our way through the year, and the Rotary Club of Douglas funded the purchase of hot compost bins through the Western Civic Amenity Centre for distribution to primary schools. They're 200 litre bins for turns the food and garden waste and other waste into compost between 30 and 90 days. So making them ideal for the school term. As well as reducing the waste, it means that the school have a ready supply of compost to be used in their own school gardens. In conjunction with Mike Rose, the manager of the Western Civic Amenity Centre, and following a successful trial run, it was decided to roll it out island-wide. And the Rotary contacted the remaining primary schools, and in total, 22 of the 33 schools are now in receipt of the hot compost bins. The Rotary Club and the schools, the Rotary Club of Douglas and the schools, are biosphere partners, and this initiative supports the drive towards sustainability, conservation and education.
Which is something that actually you see nowadays. Young people are really passionate about this, aren't they?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And then something that I remember doing as a kid is public speaking.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, students, and, of course, distinguished members of the Rotary Club. My name is Grace Silliers, and I'm here as the chairperson for the St. Ninian's High School 2024 public speaking team. Our ever-lovely speaker, Katrina McMurtry, has prepared a thoughtful and engaging speech on the digital world.
Now, I'm guessing back in the day, it probably was still the Rotary that was sort of organising it then, but recently the annual public speaking competition has just been held and you were there. Tell us about it.
We're in the 60th year of running the school's public speaking competition, and all primary schools and secondary schools are invited to participate. The senior competition took place at the beginning of March, and St Ninian's took first place with their talk entitled To Bite or Not to Bite.
Let me introduce Katrina and the speech The Digital World, To Bite or Not to Bite.
Thank you, Grace. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. The digital world has become an increasingly important aspect of our everyday lives, and it has transformed the way we do just about anything. Can you imagine a world without social media, online shopping, video calls, and search engines that can answer all of your questions? Me neither. And what about digital assistants such as an Amazon Echo that knows everything? From the weather on Mars to how many words make up a 7-minute speech. That's 1,050, by the way, which is a lot, according to my Echo. But let's not get blindsided, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows. So, tighten your virtual seatbelts as we journey to explore both the advantages and disadvantages that come with living in a digital world. Let's begin with the advantages. One cannot deny the...
Hi, I'm Grace, and I'm from St. Ninian's High School.
Hello, I'm Katrina, and I'm from St. Ninian's High School.
Now, I've just been listening to your presentation there, your public speaking presentation. It was fascinating. Katrina, listening to the content that you put in there, you must have spent so long researching this. How long did it take you to put the presentation together?
I took time out of my Christmas break, and it took me about a week.
And what were some of the most interesting things that you learned?
I think about how Sony could even be hacked, and you'd think that a company as big as that would have lots of precautions in place, but even a company that big can also have things that affect it.
And what fascinates me is, as you said yourself, you are from the age that you basically were using digital devices before you could speak even. I know sometimes on mine pops up and says, last week you spent 300 hours on your phone. Do you know how long you spend on yours?
In general, I don't actually spend that much time on my phone, about maybe an hour or less, but that's more for school stuff. I spend a lot of time on my computer, though, but it's because I do research and schoolwork on there.
Okay, so I'm interested to see then, Grace, having listened to Katrina's presentation there, on balance, how do you feel at the end of it? Do you feel sort of more erring on the side of positivity towards the internet, or do you feel more kind of negativity? What are you thinking?
I think it really just completely depends on how it's used and like the individual uses, like what their intentions are.
Fascinating. Yeah. And what about working together? Because you're obviously friends, aren't you, and have been since before you did this. What was it like coming up with your presentations together?
I think we work well together. It was definitely a nice experience, and I'm really glad that we could have the opportunity to do this.
And what do you feel you got out of the whole experience?
I feel like my public speaking skills have definitely improved. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Katrina? How do you think this will help you in the future doing something like this?
Well, I'd actually like to be a lawyer, so I think getting all the public speaking sort of experience that I can get is really useful to me.
Yeah, and so what might you say to students for next year to try and encourage them to take part in something like this, Grace?
Probably just, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be scary, but if you do your best, you never know what could happen. Finally, both Katrina and I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen, and we sincerely hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you.
And much of the organisation leading up to the public speaking competition is done through the year, leading up to March. And we're very lucky to have Anne Clark, the chair of the Guild, as our principal adjudicator. She adds significantly to the occasion, and she's a valuable asset. The junior competition was won by St John's Primary School with their presentation called A Perfect Day. Maroun took second place, and the many winners of the junior competition, Arbury, came third this year.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and listeners on Manx Radio. How lovely it is to be here today at Manx Radio, performing our presentation to you today. We are the St John's team. I am Maximus James, I'm 11 years old, and I am your chairperson. Our speaker is raring to go, so before he does, let me tell you a little bit about him. Charlie Watterson is a warm and bright person who puts others before himself. He is the youngest of three brothers, and that comes with some positives, like shared interests, lots of company, and always having someone to play football with.
And the winners receive a cheque for £750 for the school, a trophy, and book tokens of £35 for each participant. And all the other participants receive book tokens of various values.
You're listening to me, Christy D, in conversation with Mary Jane Faulkner, Chair of the Youth Committee for Douglas Rotary. And we're about to hear a clip of St John's primary pupil Charlie Watterson performing his public speaking presentation.
My perfect day. If you could go anywhere, do anything, see anything, eat anything, drink anything, with my time machine, time and distance doesn't matter. My perfect day would start with the smell of bacon, making my nose twitch when I wake up, when following the enticing smell downstairs. I would appreciate no one telling me to. Get ready for school! Brush your teeth! Breakfast would be biting into a huge bacon sandwich, licking delicious tomato ketchup off my lips, and sipping on a marshmallow and cream top chocolate. More perfection. Happiness fills my body.
It's a lovely competition. It's particularly when you see the smiles on the faces of the pupils who participate, and the pride on parents and teachers sitting in the audience. And we all know how difficult it is and how nerve-wracking it is to stand up and speak in front of a crowd. And the children, the young students, do it with such confidence. Bravado. It's
really
lovely.
Do.
Please welcome Daisy May to give the vote of thanks.
Thank you, Max, for that introduction. And thank you, Charlie, for an amazing speech. Listening to you, Charlie, has given me a real insight into the things you enjoy. I always knew you were football crazy because you usually spend all of your break times at school running around in the ball yard within the thick of the action. These last few weeks must have been so frustrating for you with your broken arm. I haven't been to a big football game, but the way you described Anfield, the final few seconds, that last-minute goal, was really exciting and made me feel like I was there. I never knew you were a sailor, and that's an activity I don't know much about. But the way you described the perfect wind conditions and your brother's boat capsizing almost made me feel a salty sea spray on my face. What I loved most about your speech was the repeating reference to food. Bacon sandwich, hot chocolate with marshmallows and cream.
Daisy May, you just finished that presentation there by saying Charlie's speech has made you think what your favourite day might be. Are you going to tell us what your perfect day might be?
Well, as Charlie said, have you decided on yours yet? And I'm going to answer that question. No, I haven't decided yet. Because there's a lot of perfect things I would do, and they would not be well enough to fit in one day. Or two. I think it'd take me 12 weeks. I would really want to visit where my mum came from, the Czech Republic, because I haven't been there in 6 years. And I want to try those deep-fried crisps again, because I had them, and I don't know how to explain them. They were delicious.
I love how basically, as a result of Charlie's speech, everyone's just thinking about food now, which is quite right. Charlie, it was so lovely hearing your perfect day. I mean, did you come up with the idea for this being the focus of the presentation? Was it your idea to do your perfect day?
Well, my mum and I were discussing about it, and we just came up with my perfect day.
How long did it take you to put it together?
Probably, like, maybe 3 weeks, maybe. I just wanted to make it, like, really exciting.
What was it like actually presenting it in front of a crowd of people? How did it make you feel?
Very nervous.
And, Maximus, you were saying that you didn't actually know Daisy May, for instance, before you did this, but you've obviously gotten to know her quite well in doing this. What was it like working together with these two?
Like I say, Daisy May, we're in different classes, and like I said in my speech, I don't know her very well. So she was giving me all these things, you know, I do this, I do that, and I was like, I have to fit it into one speech, Daisy. And then Charlie, on the other hand, I came from a different school, Russian Primary, and I joined to St. John's in end of year one. And me and Charlie have been friends ever since, so I know Charlie really well. That was the easy part.
So it must be really nice being able to represent your friend like that. And what sort of response did you all get at the end?
I think Charlie was just glad that he got the the sports bit in. Because, like I say, he is mad about sports. You walk into his bedroom, he's a massive Liverpool supporter. It's like walking into a sea of red, honestly.
Which shows why he was able to be so passionate about the topic, I suppose. Well, we need to ask you, what would your perfect day be?
Oh, well, my perfect day, I think I would share with Charlie the Anfield bit. I'd love being able to walk onto the pitch, maybe with Szoboszlai. I think also food, I'd probably have a lot of chocolate ice cream, a lot of hot chocolates, margarita pizzas.
I thought he was going to say cocktails for a second there. Not yet. Give it a few years.
Not yet.
All right.
Not yet.
Well, I love those ideas. Daisy May, what have you enjoyed most about this whole process being involved with this?
Well, what I loved most was getting to know the pair of maniacs about sport quite well.
And what's next for you? Have you got any more competitions coming up?
Actually, yes. 7 weeks' time, May.
What are you going to be doing?
Jiu-Jitsu, British Open.
That's amazing. How often do you train? How much time do you spend doing this?
Every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. And in the Easter holidays, I'll be going Tuesday, Thursday and Sunday as well.
Well, good luck with the competition. Do let us know how you get on. And well done to all of you for that fabulous presentation. I'm just going to ask super quickly, and if you were going to try and encourage someone next year, Maximus, to get involved with this, what would you say to them? Why should they do it?
So I would just say, go and do it, see what it's like. It's all right if you don't like it. Nobody's forcing you to do it. But yeah, just give it a try.
Now, we have just heard what I think is something quite extraordinary. Some young people up here in the studio, confident as anything, presenting their public speaking speeches. And clearly these children get so much out of it still, don't they? I mean, you could see them, the confidence that they've got from this. Some of them no experience and some of them having experience. This is going to set them up well for the future, isn't it?
Definitely. It's very nerve-wracking standing in front of a crowd to speak, but they do it with such confidence and bravado. It's wonderful.
And they're big topics, aren't they, for young people to take on?
Absolutely, yes.
Are there any in particular that stand out to you that sort of stayed with you since the competitions?
The harms of social media, yes, climate change and AI should be banned. With one particular student who had his notes and stopped and kind of just lost his way momentarily, but he kept so calm, looked at his notes, got it together again, and he said something that made us laugh. And that's just being human.
It's actually
lovely.
A real talent, that in itself, isn't it? Being able to carry on, even though you've had a challenge, picking yourself up, dusting yourself off and getting on with it.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing, the public speaking, I have to say. Well done to all of the students that took part. We mentioned it is the centenary, of course. Are there any particular initiatives happening that are special for this year within the Youth Committee?
The Youth Committee is just one of many of the committees in the Rotary Club, and each has their programme of events, doing charity work and helping communities both locally and internationally. And the committees support each other. For example, at Christmas time, you'll see me in my elf outfit helping Santa in Strand Street schools in Rebecca House. And in the summertime, I'm a steward at the Rotary Parish Walk for young people.
And how long have you actually been a member of the Rotary yourself?
I've been a member for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I came to the island about 15 years ago through work. And it's a really good way of meeting people. Giving back to the community is so rewarding. You meet so many people and have the opportunity of doing things that you wouldn't necessarily have.
And I'm sure the Rotary is always looking for more members. So if you were trying to encourage somebody to maybe join up with you, do you need more people to help you with that?
Oh, yes. I mean, our youth committee comprises of 9 members, but the whole of the Rotary Club help out with the public speaking competition and the compost bins and reading buddies. And so, yes, we're always looking for helpers. And we have had quite a few new members this year. Come along, have a meal with us. We meet on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And if the feel is good, join us. We're a friendly bunch of people. And we have great fun doing what we love doing charity work and community work. It's great fun.
With thanks to Mary Jane Faulkner and all of the children from the winning schools. And now a chance to hear the full presentations by the winning schools, St Ninian's and St John's.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, students, and, of course, distinguished members of the Rotary Club. My name is Grace Silliers, and I'm here as the chairperson for the St Ninian's High School 2024 public speaking team. Our ever-lovely speaker, Katrina McMurtry, has prepared a thoughtful and engaging speech on the digital world. Now, Katrina and I have known each other for 4 years, having met at the young age of 10. Ever since, we've been best friends, from joining clubs together, to helping each other with homework, to exploring our comfort zones in certain public speaking competitions. This is why, esteemed audience, I can confirm that there's no one better suited to be here today. And as an avid phone user, Katrina is particularly qualified to talk about this subject. The topic of the digital world is one that is relevant to us all. It touches the lives of each and every one of us, whether through work, or school, or simply at home. This makes it an incredibly important topic. And what's better than an important topic? The answer to that is an important topic with an eloquent speaker to expand on it. So, please, let me introduce Katrina and the speech, The Digital World, to bite or not to bite.
Thank you, Grace. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. The digital world has become an increasingly important aspect of our everyday lives, and it has transformed the way we do just about anything. Can you imagine a world without social media, online shopping, video calls, and search engines that can answer all of your questions? Me neither. And what about digital assistants such as an Amazon Echo that knows everything? From the weather on Mars to how many words make up a 7-minute speech. That's 1,050, by the way, which is a lot, according to my Echo. But let's not get blindsided, because it's not all sunshine and rainbows. So, tighten your virtual seatbelts as we journey to explore both the advantages and disadvantages that come with living in a digital world. Let's begin with the advantages. One cannot deny the transformative impact of the digital era on communication. The world has become a global village, with people connected across continents at the mere touch of a button. Without virtual methods of communication, such as messaging apps and video calls, we would not have been able to communicate with our loved ones during lockdown restrictions. Being unable to visit my grandparents over Christmas would have been a lot more difficult without a virtual call. Another advantage is the abundance of opportunities for creativity, self-expression, and connectivity. From dancing cats to human banana peels, the internet is a stage where even the weirdest talents get a standing ovation, or at least a few awkward claps. Social media platforms and online communities have become the new town squares, where ideas are exchanged and friendships are forged. One of the most prominent advantages of living in a digital world is the endless access to information. Gone are the days when researching left you with multiple paper cuts from paging through books, or the substantial effort of that perilous journey to the library, only to be fearfully hushed into silence. Now, you have the sum of human knowledge and the power to learn about virtually any topic at your fingertips. And thanks to that, during the pandemic, I was able to successfully develop my tasty new hobby of baking, but who knew there were so many variations of banana bread that existed? A final advantage lies in the realm of convenience. From online banking to grocery shopping, the digital world has simplified numerous processes, saving us both time, effort, and the countless impulse buys that we never end up using. Telecommuting has also transformed the traditional work environment. Individuals can now collaborate on projects without meeting face-to-face, all in the comfort of their avocado onesies. But, as we navigate this digital landscape,
we must acknowledge the looming shadows of disadvantages. One glaring concern is that of security and privacy. Hackers, the modern-day pirates of the digital world, lurk in the darkest corners of the internet. They lie in wait to unleash malware and phishing attacks to wreak havoc upon our lives. For example, Sony was hacked in 2014 and they lost approximately 100 terabytes of data, including personal information about employees. If a predominant company like Sony can be hacked, then what chance do the rest of us stand? In addition, personal information shared on social media can be collected and used for nefarious purposes. And we know this from our teachers' voices constantly echoing in our heads, warning us about the dangers of oversharing. But who really wants their digital footprint out there, spreading faster than a stomach bug? Another disadvantage is the adverse impact on our mental well-being. Our virtual communications have reduced opportunities for face-to-face social interactions, which can contribute to feelings of isolation and depression. Social media in particular can create a distorted sense of reality. Individuals often feel pressured to portray an idealized version of themselves or compare themselves to others. This can lower one's self-esteem. Moreover, social media has provided a breeding ground for cyberbullying, a pressing issue affecting teenagers in particular. If we haven't experienced it ourselves, chances are we know a fellow classmate or peer that has been impacted by it. The emotional toll on victims can be severe, from anxiety to suicide in extreme cases. And finally, in the realm of employment, the digital revolution has led to automation and the use of artificial intelligence. This has the potential to disrupt traditional employment patterns. According to the World Economic Forum, it is estimated that by 2025, 85 million jobs may be displaced by automation. Somehow, I doubt that hiding the WD-40 and locking up your 9-volt batteries is going to be enough to stop the robot apocalypse. In conclusion, the digital world is best described as a double-edged sword, offering a myriad of advantages whilst posing formidable challenges. Personally, being part of a generation that could navigate a smartphone before being able to speak, I find the digital world both fascinating and transformative. For me, it's my classroom, hangout spot, canvas, and so much more. However, although appearing harmless at first sight, it presents all sorts of dangers that I never would have even thought about before researching this topic. In my opinion, digital technology in itself is not the enemy. But ultimately, whether the digital world makes our lives good or bad depends on how it is used and managed. Therefore, it is up to each individual to be responsible for how they integrate digital technology into their daily lives. And for those of you who are Spider-Man fans, this is best summed up with the Peter Parker principle. With great power comes great responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you for that informative speech, Katrina. You developed all your points well and made it easy for the listener to get a fully rounded view of your speech. I particularly enjoyed how well you argued both sides of the digital divide, both the positives and the negatives. It was surprising to hear how even a secure tech company such as Sony was hacked. And I certainly agree that the digital world maximizes efficiency, simplifying what can be arduous processes. Moreover, I'm sure many of us have seen numerous internet trends that are odd, to say the least. Your conclusion was one I felt resonated with us all, as each individual must assume responsibility when going online, utilizing its valuable information, and also being wary and understanding that actions do have consequences. Finally, both Katrina and I would like to thank you for taking the time to listen, and we sincerely hope you enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and listeners on Manx Radio. How lovely it is to be here today at Manx Radio, performing our presentation to you today. We are the St. John's team. I am Maximus James, I'm 11 years old, and I am your chairperson. Our speaker is raring to go, so before he does, let me tell you a little bit about him. Charlie Watterson is a warm and bright person who puts others before himself. He is the youngest of three brothers, and that comes with some positives, like shared interests, lots of company, and always having someone to play football with. But that also comes with some downsides, like never getting a new pair of football boots, hand-me-downs in every size from his two elder brothers. Charlie has many hobbies and interests. He is very sporty and loves football, hockey, and netball. He has represented our school on several occasions and is a member of Valkyries Hockey Club and St. John's Football Club. Unfortunately, Charlie has not been able to participate in many of these sports recently as he has broken his arm playing football. So poor Charlie has had a frustrating few weeks sitting on the sidelines watching. This afternoon, Charlie is going to talk about his perfect day. So please, sit back, relax, and prepare to enjoy Charlie's description.
My perfect day. If you could go anywhere, do anything, see anything, eat anything, drink anything, with my time machine, time and distance doesn't matter. My perfect day would start with the smell of bacon, making my nose twitch when I wake up, when following the enticing smell downstairs. I would appreciate no one telling me to. Get ready for school! Brush your teeth! Breakfast would be biting into a huge bacon sandwich, licking delicious tomato ketchup off my lips, and sipping on a marshmallow and cream top chocolate. More perfection. Happiness fills my body as I walk holding Alexander Arnold's hand onto the Anfield pitch, with the stadium ringing out, "When you walk through a storm." Later, I take my seat in the cop to watch the title decider between the mighty Reds of Liverpool and Manchester United. It's 0-0, 30 seconds to the final whistle. Alisson volleys the ball up the pitch. Nunez controls the ball, passes it into the box. Salah appears from nowhere and heads it. I tremble with fear. Anana dives towards it. It's a goal! I jump out of my seat, hysterically screaming with joy. Liverpool win the Premier League. My perfect day continues. The sea conditions are perfect. A 12-knot breeze makes the flags fly, allowing my boat to glide through the water, ready to race. The flag lowers. The race begins. A good start for me. Jibing up to the first mark, I lie in second position. The wind fills my sail as I put into practice all my training. The wind begins to build. The finish line is in sight. Only my brother ahead of me. No, it can't be. Yet I watch in slow motion as his boat tilts to the side, capsizes, throwing him into the water. Proudly, I sail past with the biggest smile on my face. Unlucky, you snooze, you lose. My first win, and boy, it feels good. Italy was a perfect holiday experience. Although the hot sand burnt my feet, my brothers and I loved running into the sea. No worries about the cold, as we were holidaying in Italy. Laughing, splashing, joking, swimming, diving, bodyboarding, and mess around in the water 4 hours. Bliss. There's nothing better than us all playing together. Until we fall out. Lucky for some, but definitely for me. Another perfection. A return trip to Disney. I take a deep breath and board the rickety train. Holding on tight, the rails creak as the train goes higher and higher onto the snow-capped mountain of Everest. Without warning, a broken and twisted track appears in front of me. Ah! I begin to plummet backwards, screaming into the darkness. As I open my eyes, the mythical Yeti passes by me. Before the train arrives, safely back to station. As my perfect day draws to an end, the sun sets. My family gather on Glenmullen Beach whilst skimming stones, writing our names into the wet sand, and back to the fire pit for melting s'mores. My perfect day finishes as it began, with a huge hot chocolate covered with marshmallows and cream before returning to Dotty, our camper, to snuggle into my sleeping bag and dream of our Italian holiday and his amazing perfect Italian pepperoni pizzas and 3 scoops of chocolate gelato with a big flake on top. Yum yum. Well, that's my perfect day. Have you decided on yours yet?
Thank you for that entertaining speech, Charlie. It has made me feel quite hungry. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon our vote of thanks is being given by Daisy May Moore. Daisy May is in Year 5, and although I do not know her very well, I do know that she is a multi-talented member of our school. Every Friday we have a celebration assembly, and Daisy May is always bringing in certificates, medals, awards and belts. You see, Daisy May not only sings beautifully and takes part in the Manx Music Festival, but she has also for many years taken part in martial arts. Daisy May originally did Taekwondo, but has now moved on to Jiu-Jitsu. This is a sport that you may not be familiar with. So, to fill you in, Jiu-Jitsu is Brazilian wrestling, and every time you pass a grade exam, you get a coloured belt to wear. Daisy May wears a grey and white belt with 2 stripes. Daisy May has been off-island on several occasions to represent her club across the waters. What an achievement! Daisy May is also keenly aware of the environment, and in our school public speaking competition, her speech was entitled Plastic is Fantastic. She gave us so much information about the dangers of plastic pollution, but later concluded that it's not plastic itself that's causing the danger, but irresponsible humans who do not dispose of it properly. Please welcome Daisy May to give the vote of thanks.
Thank you, Max, for introduction, and thank you, Charlie, for an amazing speech. Listening to you, Charlie, has given me a real insight into the things you enjoy. I always knew you were football crazy because you usually spend all of your break times at school running around in the ball yard within the thick of the action. These last few weeks must have been so frustrating for you with your broken arm. I haven't been to a big football game, but the way you described Anfield, the final few seconds, that last-minute goal, was really exciting and made me feel like I was there. I never knew you were a sailor, and that's an activity I don't know much about. But the way you described the perfect wind conditions and your brother's boat capsizing almost made me feel a salty sea spray on my face. What I loved most about your speech was the repeating reference to food. Bacon sandwich, hot chocolate with marshmallows and cream, s'mores, pepperoni pizza, chocolate gelato, and yet another hot chocolate, all in one day. It's lucky that you're so energetic to burn off all those calories. Your speech has made me think about what my perfect day would be. I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, has it made you think about yours too? Please can we give Charlie a well-deserved round of applause?